quick question. How many calls, texts, or messages does your business miss every week? Nights, weekends, busy days. That's lost money. Create Assistance helps businesses fix that problem using AI employees that answer calls, respond to texts, book appointments, and follow up with leads 24/7 automatically. No extra staff, no complicated software. Everything runs inside one simple command center that replaces scattered tools, missed follow-ups, and manual busy work. Whether you're a service business, office, or multi-location company, Create Assistance keeps your business responsive, organized, and running even when you're off the clock. Stop letting leads slip through the cracks. Visit createassistance.ai to book a free call. Or you can call or text 515-500-2224. Again, that's 515-500-2224. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome, you're listening to Sports Econ 101, the show where we discuss sports topics from a business perspective. I'm your host, Edward Brown, along with my co-host, Michael McDowd. Russell Jackman is off today. At each commercial break, we are going to ask a trivia question, and today's theme is the 1920s. We'll see how much you know about the 1920s. We do want to welcome WatchSMSN.com, serving Indiana and beyond. SMSN Radio, your home for sports, thanks to CEO and founder Brian Snow. Now, Mike, in the next segment, we're going to have a special guest.
Yeah, did you see me punching away at the camera?
I did.
That was my homage to the UFC fight that El Presidente Trump just put on. I loved it. And, you know, that's all I got. Well, we'll talk about it. It was fun, man. It was fun. Only in America. That's all I can say. I got a special guest. Why do we have him on? Because the planet's biggest, colossal, humongous, I don't know if that's a word, but I just made it up, sporting event is currently going on, and it is not lacrosse. It is not field hockey. It is definitely not the WNBA. It is called football, the beautiful game. The World Cup is alive and well in America, Mexico, and Canada. So, man, it's happening. It's going on. 48 teams playing, if I'm wrong, Eric will correct me, but it's come a long way since 1994 to where we are today. We're going to talk to the head soccer coach of the University of North Florida. His name is Eric Falconer. He's a friend of mine, a friend of the show. He's a great guy. He knows soccer inside and out. He knows sports. He's done talk shows. He hosted them. He's a great broadcaster. So if he wants to get out of this game, he can get into broadcasting, but keep your day job, Eric.
All right, guys, audience, stay with us. You're listening to the Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be right back.
Palio Restaurant's been the premier Italian restaurant serving downtown San Francisco since 1990. Palio features fine Italian fare and a Wine Spectator award-winning wine list, so there's no surprise it's been voted best Italian restaurant in the SF Weekly this year. Palio has consistently been voted one of the best restaurants in San Francisco by San Francisco locals. Palio's been in business for over 30 years and recently went through a complete remodel. Our guests can expect to receive the same excellence in food and service that has sustained us for over 30 years in a brand new and more modern space. Our 250-plus seat restaurant includes seating in four distinct spaces, making social distancing while dining easy in our establishment. All precautions are taken by staff to ensure a safe dining experience. Open Monday through Saturdays. Reservations are recommended. Visit paliosf.com to view our menus and make a reservation today.
There are rivers that people visit, and then there are rivers that change them. For over 40 years, Tributary Whitewater has guided adventurers on the West's most iconic waters. The journey spans from the deepest river canyon in North America, via Hell's Canyon on the Snake River, to the legendary wild and scenic stretches of the Rogue River in Southwest Oregon. Bring the family and explore a 3-day, 2-night easy rafting trip on the new Lower Klamath, or half-day to 2-day trips on California Classic Whitewater on the American River, or experience the rivers in the Sierra Nevada, including the Truckee River and the springtime East Fort Carson River, both just outside of Lake Tahoe. With expert guides and all-inclusive overnight experiences on the river, Tributary serves as a premier gateway to the great outdoors. From Oregon and Idaho to the heart of California, Tributary Whitewater provides everything you need for an experience of a lifetime. Reservations for the 2026 season are available at whitewatertours.com. Tributary Whitewater, incredible river experiences.
The Elk Cove Inn, voted number one of 77 bed and breakfasts in Mendocino County, invites you to explore one of the most romantic boutique hotels on the Northern California coast. This one-of-a-kind ocean view inn is part bed and breakfast, part homestead and sustainable farm. The Elk Cove Inn goes above and beyond to offer a home away from home experience with unpretentious comfort, complete amenities, beautiful gardens and grounds, breakfast in bed, fine dining experience, and a day spa. Be prepared to relax, unwind, and recharge. Our spectacular ocean view rooms and cottages welcome you with a gift basket, champagne, and delicious breakfast. Enjoy the afternoon with a bonfire, wine, cheese, and games. A favorite for romantic getaways, the Elk Cove Inn is also a popular destination for reunions and business gatherings. Go to elkcoveinn.com for reservations. That's elkcoveinn.com.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. I'm Edward Brown along with Mike McDowell. And Michael, tell us, remind the audience who our guest is going to be, who's coming out in the
Listen, he's a one-of-a-kind guy. He's really one of the best guys I've met in the game of soccer. I got a chance to work for him as a play-by-play broadcaster at the University of North Florida in Jacksonville, and got to build a friendship with him. Him and I went over copious notes to prepare for the matches, and he was always so kind to me, helping me get prepared for his women's games. And obviously that's a sign of who he is, because as a head soccer coach, he is prepared for, you know, anything and everything, and he's got a really great program. Became head coach in 2018 at the University of North Florida, and has just done an unbelievable job for the Ospreys. Prior to that was at Armstrong State University and Thomas University. I think, Eric, you have over 300 career victories in the game of soccer. But listen, we want to talk soccer. We want to talk a little about your program. First and foremost, as a friend, welcome to the show. And we always have a lot of fun with you. But, hey, you know what, man? The World Cup, the beautiful game, is here now. It's live. And people are talking. They're singing. They're crying. I mean, this is a big deal, Eric.
Yeah, it's been great. First of all, thanks for having me on. It's been a while, but definitely enjoy it. And yeah, it's been great. The games have been great. The crowds have been great. And just the summer of soccer's begun, and we have another month, a little over a month left of it. So we got a lot of games to be played.
You know, I heard on the radio and this kind of warms my heart, that a lot of these players, this is the first time coming to the United States, and they're just enamored. You know, they're saying the people are so friendly, the food's so good. You know, I don't know what they were specifically expecting, but everybody's being really nice to them. And it's kind of a good feel-good story.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. You know, we hosted the World Cup in 1994, and, you know, it was questioned, why is America hosting the World Cup in 94? Soccer is not what it is now in this country. And, you know, this many years later, the 94 World Cup is the most successful World Cup in the history. Attendance-wise, there was only 24 teams playing in 94, and it still has the attendance record. You know, we have these massive stadiums in this country, you know, 80,000, you know, 82,000 watched France play today up in New Jersey. So, you know, going into this World Cup, again, kind of same questions, why is America hosting soccer? They don't care about soccer. But Yeah, like soccer's come a long way since 94, and you know, a great league. And so far the crowds have been fantastic, and it's been really cool to see just how well the tournament's off to a great start.
You know, my favorite part is watching, this is aside from the soccer part of it, apparently the Japanese are cleaning up the fans are out there cleaning up because that's just their culture.
Yeah, it's one of the things too. The Japanese team leaves locker rooms spotless, and you know, the kind of funny part, Jameis Winston jumped in and was helping him out. So he's working for Fox this summer doing some soccer work as an NFL quarterback, and so he was up there with the Japanese fans cleaning the stadium in Dallas. So
that's some cool culture, you know.
Yeah, and obviously the matchers are great guys. I mean, you know, this show is going to be heard on the weekend, but it's Tuesday, and today France beat Senegal 3-1. Iraq and Norway are in the 45th minute right now, 2-1 Norway over Iraq. But there's your live updates. You gotta love that. As if you know, Argentina and Algeria tonight. But a little synopsis of who's playing, because, you know, let me just break it down real quick. Group A is Mexico, South Korea, Czechoslovakia, South Africa. Group B, Switzerland, Canada, Qatar, Bosnia. Group C is Scotland, Morocco, Brazil, and Haiti. Group D, the United States of America, Australia, Tokyo, Paraguay. Group E is Germany, Ivory Coast, Ecuador, Curaçao. Group F is Sweden, Japan, Netherlands, Tunisia. Group G is, these are a lot of teams. New Zealand, Iran, Belgium, Egypt. Group H is Uruguay, Saudi Arabia, Spain, Cape Verde, who shocked the Spaniards yesterday. So you got to love those guys. Group I is France, Iraq, Norway, Senegal. I mean, Argentina, Algeria, Austria, Jordan. There's just too many damn groups. Portugal is in Group K. They're going to be the favorites. Colombia is in there. Group L is going to be the three Lions. That, of course, is England.
How do they determine which countries go in which group? Because these aren't necessarily
they're seeded based on their ranking in the world, and they pick from they make sure to try to make the groups as even as possible. So they'll have a very strong team, two solid teams, and usually a weaker team. So it tries to bid it, and this is the most expanded tournament they've ever had. So FIFA likes to make money, and so they figured the more games, the more money they can make, and so they're printing it right now.
Yeah, and I want to apologize for reading off all the damn names. It's embarrassing because, first of all, we want to know who's playing. There's so many stories, and since we are part of a great country known as the United States of America, let's start off with our team, because what we did against Paraguay was, Eric, wow, execution. Controlling midfield, ball control. It was a thing of beauty. In fact, I'm going to use this word. I'm going to use it throughout the tournament. For them, clearly, I'm going to call this, that was poetry in motion, man. That was poetry in motion. It was a tactically a very good game. If you disagree with me, let me know.
No, I wholeheartedly agree with you. I think if you would have read social media for the 2 years leading up to this World Cup, we were going to go out in three games and not, it would be embarrassed, and the team didn't have any heart, and they weren't playing well, and, you know, Pochettino, the manager, didn't care, and all these things. U.S. soccer, traditionally, fans are naysayers. They just, you know, it hasn't quite gone the way that we like it sometimes, and maybe, you know, but... yeah, they played extremely well when they needed to, right? At the ultimate time, you want to be ready to peak at the World Cup. These exhibitions, these friendlies, you know, over the last 2 years are just a trying out process, really, to find the right group of players. And so I thought the setup was really good. The tactics were phenomenal. They played really, really well. I think Pochettino's a great manager. He's obviously managed at a really high level in Europe. And, you know, I think that was a great start, you know, to go out there and probably have one of the best performances of the tournament so far. But now with that, expectations obviously are higher, right? You're going to play an Australia team that maybe going into that group, Turkey was the favorite, or Turkey, or however they're saying it now. I'm not really sure the pronunciation, but, you know, they were probably considered maybe the top of that group. And so they got upset by Australia. So this game in Seattle, which, as you guys know, Seattle is a loud stadium. If it's anything like a Seahawks game, the U.S. is going to have a huge home field advantage Friday. So
Yeah.
great start, and let's see if we can keep it going.
As long as they don't have, I remember when it was in South Africa, those horns.
Those Vuvuzelas.
So,
yeah. Yeah, we had a Vuvuzela night here one night for one of our games, and it's just sitting on the sidelines listening to that for 90 minutes.
Well, hey, I was tough. At the gym one time, and we all decided, you know what, just turn the volume down. We're just going to watch the game, and just because that's Tell you what, let's go to our, we have to go to our first commercial break here, right? And just as a reminder, Eric, because these questions are not very hard, if you know the answer, don't say anything yet. We'll let you answer when we come right back. All right. What was the name of the airplane that Charles Lindbergh flew across the Atlantic in 1927? That's our question, is what was the name of the airplane that Charles Lindbergh flew across the Atlantic in 1927? And since we have just a few seconds here, here's our silly pun of the week. What kind of concert only costs 45 cents? A 50-cent concert featuring Nickelback. Not bad, huh?
All right. That was actually pretty good.
We got a laugh.
That was actually good.
That's a good one. All right. We like that one. All right, audience, one more time. Here's the trivia question. What was the name of the airplane Charles Lindbergh flew across the Atlantic in 1927? If I remember, he flew into Oakland, right? Or he flew from Oakland to France. Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I believe so.
All right, stay with us, audience. Sports Econ 101. I'll be right back. Don't touch that dial.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money, and you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Imagine combining the exciting investment opportunity of cryptocurrencies with the power of artificial intelligence to maximize your IRA, 401k, or other investment funds. Listen, if you're looking for ways to accelerate your retirement growth, Block Trust IRA has market-leading strategies and solutions for all levels of investors, from $1,000 to millions. And they partner with Bitcoin Magazine's number one crypto trading fund in the world to maximize maximize your returns. Plus, their team of IRA specialists is here to help you roll over your IRA or qualified retirement account to the new world of cryptocurrency investments. So make this free call right now to set up your account and learn more.
800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. That's 800-475-6824.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Edward Brown here along with Mike McDowell, our special guest, Eric Falconer. Trivia question number one. What was the name of the airplane Charles Lindbergh flew across the Atlantic in 1927? Eric, you were alive back then. What was the answer?
I'm racking my brain, but can't think of it.
Mike, what's the answer?
I think it very well could be Kitty Hawk.
No. That Kitty Hawk was 1903, where the Wright brothers invented the airplane.
Yeah, okay, I'm wrong. The Spirit of St. Louis? Yeah.
There you go. That's the answer. Spirit of St. Louis.
Okay.
All right. Mike, you want to...
Was he from St. Louis?
What's that?
Was he from St. Louis?
I don't know. I'm not sure why it's called the Spirit of St. Louis. Maybe.
I got a trivia question for you. Who is the youngest player in World Cup history to score a goal? What's his name? What country?
Yeah. Youngest. And Pele scored pretty young.
I don't know if it was Pele.
Was he 17?
You're right.
Yeah.
Who's Pele?
Yeah. I got to see. I lived in New Jersey at the time. We played for the Cosmos. So I got to see him play several times and was actually had his last game. So my father took me 1978, I believe.
I got to see him play.
Yeah, so it was pretty cool.
He's the guy who put soccer on the map for the United States.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
One of the things I want to add, Eric, just really quickly about our U.S. team, a couple of key players people need to watch, and in particular, the striker. And I think you know what I'm talking about, Florin Balogun, the guy who plays for AC Monaco. His game was epic. I believe he almost had a hat trick, which means three goals, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. But one of them was taken away. But he had a breakout game, in my opinion. That's A. And then B, also, Captain America, the guy who's everybody is talking about, Christian Pulisic. I keep screwing his name up. But, he's a player to watch. Tyler Adams, the defensive midfielder. But those guys, and even Weston McKenzie is really good out of Juventus, the midfielder. But talk about those players real quick. And then furthermore, I think what people don't understand is all of our players pretty much don't play in America. We might have one MLS player maybe on the team.
The majority of the team plays overseas. Most of them play in Europe. Playing some pretty good clubs or some pretty good leagues, and you're starting to see that. I think the major difference over the years, 1990, we sent a college team, to the World Cup in Italy, and it looked like a college team. And they did, they held their own, but they were done in three games and gone. A 94, a little bit better. Some guys that just started kind of maybe playing some professional soccer in Europe, a couple guys. MLS started shortly after that. And so there was some chances for American players to play in MLS, but Pulisic and those guys, they've been playing in Europe since they were teenagers. And some of them have international ties. Some of them are, a parent is a United States, citizen. So that's how they got on a team, Balquin, his father served in Vietnam, which is a pretty cool story. It's been good. I think it's been a good way of, this generation of players is always considered really talented, but we weren't getting the same results that maybe we were getting earlier. So, we're starting to see it. And I also think the manager was the right selection too. I know we've had these different, managers in the past. Some have worked out, some haven't, but I think, U.S. soccer went out and got someone that had some clout and some recognition that the players are going to respect. And I think, it's still a long way to go. They got to get out of the group. And I think for them, success is probably getting to the round of 16. And then after that, anything after that would be great. They played extremely well the other day. And these guys have played in really, tough environments. And so they're used to it.
Yeah, and you talked about Balogun. Really interesting story about him, Edward, is the fact that, believe it or not, and you hit on it a little bit, he had the opportunity to play for three different countries. His I guess part of his family is from Nigeria. His mother's from England, and believe it or not, his mom was over here in the U.S. and she was pregnant. And the airlines could see that she was having potential, she was getting ready to deliver a baby. They would not let her travel back to England. So he was born in America, thus becoming a US citizen. And thank God he was, because he was the man of the match, no doubt about it.
Yeah, he's been good. And Pulisic too is carrying a lot of the pressure. I think in years past that might have been like a Landon Donovan at one point or something like that. Pulisic had gone through a little bit of a dry spell goal scoring wise, and just I think up this play he was really dominant on that left hand side. I thought tactically they were really, like I said, they were set up very well. They created a lot of overloads. They really frustrated Paraguay. So I think the next game is going to be a little more difficult. Australia is going to be able to sit in a little bit more. They're defensive minded. Are we going to be able to break that down? And so, that's going to be exciting to see. And then, they could win the group by just, winning that game and getting 6 points and getting the right result in the other game. They could be ready through. They'll be right through if they win the next game. But they want to win the group because that's going to give you a little bit easier draw down the line. You're going to get a third place team from one of the other groups, and that's going to give you a greater, greater draw to advance. And so, really important game.
Let me ask you, Eric, how, from an economic standpoint, how much money is involved with the World Cup?
The thing about having the United States was so different from the rest of the world. This is going to be the most successful World Cup ever financially. They're going to make billions upon billions and billions of dollars. And the reason why is because a lot of these countries, to put on this event, they have to build stadiums. They have to add the infrastructure. We had to make some tweaks that, SoFi, for instance, had to take some rows out because the field needed to be wider. But that stadium is, it's right there. We have stadiums in this country, they're not even hosting it. The Vegas, state, places like that we could put it in a lot of different places, right? College stadiums, whatever. So
Yeah, me
because the
too.
infrastructure is already there, they didn't have to put out all this money on the front end. These stadiums were already built. When they had it in Qatar 4 years ago, they had to build almost every stadium that was there to host the thing. Brazil had to do similar things, add stadiums and temporary stadiums and all this other stuff. So
How
it's
much
gonna be
does it
really
save, though?
successful.
I gotta think that, the television rights might
Yeah,
be
the
worth it.
television ratings were has been really, really good as well. I mean, the US game, for instance, set a record. I think that just the average games are doing really, really well. You're getting the whole world, right? Not just the United States watching it. So unlike other events like our NBA championship, where there's going to be some interest in Europe and South America because there are some players that do play, this is being watched by everybody. And so it's just a massive financial boom for pretty much everybody, from the owners of the stadiums to the NFL teams that are involved, FIFA. FIFA was criticized for their ticketing policies, and everybody was like, these things are so expensive, these stadiums are gonna be empty. They're not empty. People are paying a lot of money to go to these games. It's
How
crazy.
much is an average ticket now? For
I mean, it depends on the game. The average ticket
well,
at the Miami site, because it's so they have Brazil down there and they have Portugal coming up, so Cristiano Ronaldo and obviously Brazilians, those tickets are in the thousands of dollars. It's hard to get into these stadiums. So Mike may have a little bit better idea, but I know for the US game the other night, it was expensive.
yeah, no. In fact, just to top piggyback on what you said, Eric, ticket sales and hospitality sales alone projected the earnings will be about $3 billion. Now the group stage matches, as far as tickets are concerned, the lowest tiers, believe it or not, and Eric and I were talking about this off the air, 60 to 140 bucks. That's the lowest. Now, when the US is standard seats for a US match, 185 to 535. World Cup, the final, they're called Category One seats. They go for about 7,000 to 9,000 and $10,000 above. So, you're talking for one game, 10,000 bucks. That's, and it depends what your what you're really cutting, you know, if you're just trying to go to the match, you're trying to get a VIP experience. Yeah. And I'm actually reading something right here. What is it? So prices generally start for a package at $5,300, but an elite package goes for $70,000. That's a lot of money, ladies and gentlemen. That's a lot of money.
I don't know if you saw the, you know, obviously Scotland played in Boston, and they brought a lot of fans to Boston to watch the game. The next night, the Red Sox are playing, and there's 7,000-8,000 Scottish people watching the Red Sox play a baseball game, singing and chanting. And I heard the environment from a friend that was, he said it was incredible. It was not a baseball environment that you usually go to, because there's no singing and chanting in baseball, right? And they were having a grand time because most of them had never done that either. So it's just been a, it's a celebration, really, you know. And this country's a melting pot, and we have people from all over the world, and they're coming to the games.
Absolutely. Okay, we're going to go to our next commercial break here, talking about the 1920s. Which stunt performer died in 1926 at the age of 52? And if you need a hint, I'll give it to you when we come back. But yeah, you guys might know this. Which stunt performer died in 1926 at the age of 52? All right, stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial. We are going to be right back.
At the heart of San Francisco lies the Axiom Hotel. Located in the heart of Union Square, the Axiom Hotel blends a sense of history with modern touches. Our spacious accommodations are comfortable and created with a soft ambiance, with state-of-the-art amenities such as a core fitness center and in-room espresso and coffee. Guest reviews rave about the staff, as well as how quiet the hotel is, so you can get a good night's sleep and rest up for a day of shopping at the best store San Francisco has to offer. Just steps from the Powell Street cable car turnaround, the Axiom Hotel is ideal for exploring downtown San Francisco. Check out axiomhotel.com for our specials and vacation packages, and book online today. That's axiomhotel.com, or call 415-392-9466. That's 415-392-9466. The Axiom Hotel, San Francisco.
Hop in a John Deere Gator XUV for a day's work. Let's see what's on the to-do list. There goes the tree. And the fence.
Shelter out!
Not a problem. Because you've got a cargo box filled with solutions. Up to 4,000 pounds of towing capacity. And you're ready to roll.
The power's out!
Here we go again. The Gator XUV, built for every kind of workday. Learn more at johndeere.com/GatorXUV. Nothing runs like a deer.
Mountain Mike's Pizza in San Rafael is open for both takeout and delivery. So if you want pizza the way it ought to be, call us at 415-454-4300 or go to mountainmikesanrafael.com and order online. You can either pick up your fabulous pizza or we can deliver it to you. Our dough and shredded cheese are made fresh daily. So call 415-454-4300 or go to mountainmikesanrafael.com and order your pizza.
Got stuff you don't need? Turn it into cold hard cash with Cha-Ching Company. Whether it's your house, your car, or even gold collecting dust, we buy it for cash fast. No hassles, no long waits. Get a free cash offer in just 24 hours and walk away with money in your pocket. That's Cha-Ching Company, your trusted cash buyer for houses, cars, and gold. Visit cashnow2026.com right now and get your offer today.
The Tahoe Lakeshore Lodge and Spa invites you to experience spring in Tahoe. Whether it's hiking, getting pampered in the spa, or relaxing by the lake, the Tahoe Lakeshore Lodge and Spa is the perfect destination, as it is close to many restaurants Heavenly Village, and nature areas to explore. Every room has a spectacular Lake Tahoe view. Call 800-448-4577 or go to TahoeLakeshoreLodge.com to reserve your room with a view.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. One more time, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Mike McDowell, our special guest, Eric Falconer. And our second trivia question, which stunt performer died in 1926 at the age of 52?
Anyone? I got a guess at it. How about Houdini?
Yes, that is correct.
Harry Houdini. Good job. I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah, and they it's claimed that what happened was he died of a ruptured appendix. What he used to do was he used to challenge people, you know, go ahead and hit me in the stomach, you know, because he would tighten up and all that. Well, this college student caught him off guard.
Wow.
And unexpectedly, he hit him a few times. And supposedly, that's what kind of ruptured his appendix. And he didn't really know it for a while. And then, boom, that's what happened. Hey, by the way, you know what? The Knicks won 4-1. Didn't I say Knicks in 5?
Yeah, I think so.
Just saying.
Hey, you know, all right, go ahead. Listen, Edward, quick question. Before we talk about the Knicks, I know you want to talk about the Knicks. And even, hey, let's talk a little hockey because the Carolina Hurricanes did something phenomenal. But,
yes, I did.
You know, the 5 players to watch in the World Cup, because I know we have limited time, obviously, and I want Eric to kind of comment on all these players. I'm going to go to the number 2 player to watch because, to me, he's got the most upside for the future. The kid out of Spain is a teenage superstar, Lamine Yamal. I mean, he is something that's a bit of a freak of nature, isn't he, Eric?
Yeah, he got some new names, right? He got some old names, right? He got Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo who are on the back end of the career. And this one thing about this tournament, you know, there's about a 6-7 day break in between games, which is very rare for the World Cup. Usually you got about 4 games. So for someone like a Messi or Ronaldo, that could be a pretty big thing. But yeah, Mike, I agree with that. You know, Haaland's playing for the first time in the World Cup. We got to see Mo Salah play for Egypt the other day. So there's some people that haven't had a chance to play that are some big names in soccer because of the expanded tournament, right?
Right, right. And you know, you got to pronounce, you know, I know a little bit about him. I can't pronounce his last name because he's French, but he's considered the number one player right now. And it's Kylian Mbappé, the kid out of France.
Yeah. Fastest. And our men's coach here is from France. So he was not happy with the first half performance of France. Mbappé stepped up in the second half. That goal that he scored from, 35 yards out today.
Right.
He's a world-class player. He was really good in the last World Cup, obviously. So, he's definitely someone to watch as well.
Fastest guy on the pitch in the world right now. Also, number 3, Lionel Messi, the defending champion. He's still magical. Yeah. Out of Argentina. And then Jude Bellingham. And then his team, who's a great midfielder who really knows how to control matches. And then he's known as the clinical finisher, the guy who just can, you know what, man, he can make you look silly, but he is the captain of 3 Lions, a.k.a. Yep. England, Harry Kane. Those are really, you know, there's I could go down a list of 25, but, you know, there's some people
to
keep an eye on.
I saw England play New Zealand in the last game, prep game here in America in Tampa. And Harry Kane scored. I think the unique thing about this World Cup is there isn't a strong favorite. You know, France is considered a favorite. Spain, you know, kind of sleptwalked in the first game, you know. There's a lot of teams that could possibly win this, maybe more so than some other years.
Yeah, and in particular, you know, we get all excited and I got a little heart for England. They always have perhaps some of the finest talents in the world. The English, the Premier League. But, you know, when it comes down to the big song and dance, I mean, they've had, you know, Beckham, they've had Rooney over the years. They just can't get it done. But they're actually picked around 3rd, possibly, to win this thing. This would be a massive deal. They would actually start the an entire new revolution in America to win it here, huh?
Yeah, 1966 was the last time England won the World Cup, the only time England won the World Cup. And so they keep saying it's coming home, and maybe this is the chance for it to come home. Maybe it's here in the United States from all places, right? But, it's going to be interesting. I think England has a good team. I'm partial to the Italians, who can't seem to qualify for the World Cup anymore, which is crazy in a year like this when it's expanded. I think, again, you got a lot of teams, and, watching these early round games, Spain lost their first round game last year. Argentina lost their first round game last year, I believe. And so, these early games, you want to get out of the group. You want to get yourself a pretty good seed so you're not drawing a world-class team in that next game. And the team that gets hot eventually starts to click a little bit. I think some of these teams, like a Spain, are going to click at some point, and maybe that was a wake-up call for them.
All right, 10 seconds, because we're 15 seconds, then we got to hit the Knicks. Do we have a shot? Does the U.S. have a shot? Do we have an outside shot?
To win it? I don't think so. I think it's going to be too much. But, can you go on and, maybe go a little farther than we thought? I think it's a pretty good team. It's really comes down to it's the matchups, right? If you can get a good matchup in the next couple of rounds advancing, sometimes it opens the door for you to make that run. And I think U.S. will probably need that to happen, but, they look pretty good. I mean, is it a one-off? We'll find out on Friday, right?
I gotta look at the roster for the Uruguay team to see if everyone's last name ends in OB. There was one specific year that every member of the team ended in OV.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. Got a lot of games to be played though here. So a lot of groups, right, Mike? A lot of groups.
No, oh, geez, yeah. I was embarrassing. I apologize to our listeners reading all those groups. But hey, I know Edward, you said this, but let me tell you, maybe the NBA is back now, because that series averaged more than 20 million viewers. And you can say what you want to say, but I got to tell you, when President Trump was at that game, America freaking watched. And you can't argue that. You love him, you hate him, whatever. But the NBA, guys, may have a little bit of a new life. Stay out of the politics crap, but I know, whatever. But that was a big deal for the city of New York, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And if he would have gone to game four, it would have been a little bit more exciting.
Yeah, a series that was 4-1, right? I mean, it was pretty fun to watch. I'm not an NBA fan, and I really watched the final. I used to be when I was a kid. In the 80s, I loved it. Like, the Birds and the Julius Irvings and – I kind of in Jordan and obviously and now I'm kind of I don't watch it as much, but I watched most of this series and I thought it was pretty good.
It was definitely good.
Jalen Brunson, that guy was money. I mean, he's obviously the best player in 45 points in the championship game five. I mean, come on. He was the Bill Russell MVP trophy winner. I mean, so congratulations to them. First time in 45 years they won a title, and well deserved for New York. They didn't destroy the city.
It's 53 years.
Isn't the last seven winners, they're all different teams, something like that, right? So you had going back to it's been a while since you've had a repeat champion in the NBA. I mean, you got the Lakers winning it, Toronto won it, right? Milwaukee won it one year, right? Yeah. That's
with the Warriors.
When's the last time they won it?
Right.
Yeah, it's been some time, and so the Knicks winning it, right? A lot of my friends, I'm a Giants, Yankees fan. Everybody's like congratulating me. Like, I'm not a Knicks fan. I mean, I'm not going to jump on the bandwagon. I can't do it. I don't have a favorite NBA team, so.
But why tear up the city? Maybe tear up the city, but it's like, I mean, if your team loses, okay, that still doesn't give you an excuse, but what's the deal about burning buses and taxi cabs and all? It's like, come on, man, you know?
It doesn't make a lot of sense. It seems to happen every time teams win, no matter what it is, basketball or college sports. Even college kids do it, unfortunately. It's stupid, but...
Cultural thing, man.
But they didn't. They didn't burn down the Sound in Carolina when the Hurricane just won their second NHL title, their first one in 20 years. Hold on, Carolina Hurricane. The South dominates the NHL right now.
Another sport, Mike. You know, you look at it, right? Like Vegas has won it, right? Tampa Bay, Florida, Carolina. When's the last time? It's been a long time since Toronto has been relevant. Montreal. Detroit, Chicago, the Rangers, right? Like, it's that sport too. That's a crazy one as well, right? Where it's so. I went to a Tampa Bay Lightning game a couple of weeks ago, and it was fun. I mean, it's really taken off down here.
No, it really has, and it's a sport that, you know, it's by far a level, you know, we love soccer, but it's the best in-person spectator sport.
I think it's the best postseason. Like, I'm a New Jersey Devils fan. They were great in the 90s when, like, Brodeur and, you know, some of them playing, but, like, when you watch now the Stanley, if you can't watch the Stanley Cup, I think it's a great playoff format. I mean, I really do. And I, you know, maybe the early rounds are a little weird now. They do it divisionally and stuff like that. But, you know, live, it's even better hockey, but it's pretty exciting stuff. And again, another event, which I thought there was a good series that wasn't that competitive. I mean, you know, ultimately.
No doubt about it. And just a sidebar, we were talking about the World Cup. A lot of the fans from Germany, Scotland, are coming over. They're going nuts for the Waffle House. They're going to Bucky's. And they're
Have you guys seen this guy, Freddie?
Yeah.
He is living a charmed life. So this guy comes on, he puts a few posts out on social media on X, and all of a sudden he is just taken off. And today he was at NASA. You know, touring one of the rockets that went to the moon. He's been, you know, J.J. Watt set him up pretty well in Houston. He met with the Saints and the Hornets, like, crazy. He's been to a Bucky's. He's been to a Bass Pro Shop. Yeah, he's having a good time.
So, you know, it's funny. I'm not familiar with Bucky's. Is that just
I don't know what the, you know, but it's just a massively large gas station. But it's a pretty cool place. Yeah, have you ever been to one? It's pretty neat.
I'll try, since my career's been broadcasting, 15 seconds. It's a massively large gas station, Edward, but it's got, like, the most incredible pulled pork sandwiches, brisket beef. Cool. It's got a massive beef jerky section, fudge. It's got some really nice high-end items, for beach shirts, etc. I mean, it's really something else.
South?
It's a sociological phenomenon.
I think it started in Texas, I believe. It's worked its way in Florida. We have one. I have one exit from my house. Like, so I've been there probably,
I was in Kentucky last week, and it was good. It's actually very good. I was surprised. Okay, guys, here's our third trivia question. What was the surname of the defendant in the 1925 monkey trial? This was Charles Darrow was the prosecutor. But what was the surname of the defendant in the 1925 monkey trial? All right, stay with us. Sports Econ 101. I'll be right back with some closing comments. Don't touch that dial.
With MedGuard Alert, you're never alone. You can connect with medical professionals anywhere, anytime. And now MedGuard is introducing our exclusive new CareWatch. If you need help quickly, use it from anywhere to contact medical professionals. No cell phone required. The CareWatch is not only a life-saving medical alert device. It's a revolutionary health monitoring system that checks your blood pressure, heart rate, oxygen saturation, and much more. And here's the best part. If you have Medicaid, you may qualify to get your CareWatch for free. The CareWatch is only available
available through MedGuard Alert. Call us right now. We have monitoring programs starting as low as $1 a day. The call is free, activation is free, shipping is free, and no contract is required. Remember, with Medicaid, you may qualify to get your Care Watch for free. Call us to get your Care Watch right now.
800-853-8931. 800-853-8931. 800-853-8931. That's 800-853-8931.
It's more than a rebellion. When your teen is slipping into drugs or alcohol, when social media and pornography consume their time and their mind, when depression and even suicidal thoughts cast a shadow over your home, as a parent, you feel powerless. There is hope. At Turnabout Ranch, troubled teens step away from the chaos and into a clarity of nature on a working cattle ranch. Care for horses, learn responsibility, build trust, and rediscover purpose. It isn't theory, it's real work. Real therapy, real healing. Families from across the country have found transformation right here, just when they thought hope was gone. If your teen is struggling with addiction, harmful online behaviors, even weight management, call right now and get the help you all need.
800-219-2494. 800-219-2494. 800-219-2494. That's 800-219-2494.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than $1 a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than $1 a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-245-2751. 800-245-2751. 800-245-2751. That's 800-245-2751. Paid for by the Pharmacy Shop.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Last time for today, I'm Evan Brown, your host, along with Eric Falconer, our guest, and of course, my co-host, Mike McDowd. Third trivia question, what was the surname of the defendant in the 1925 monkey trial? Remember, this one is about evolution, teaching it in Tennessee. The last name was Scopes, the Scopes monkey trial.
Okay, of course, yes. How remiss of me not to know that.
Okay. So, Eric, did you want to plug anything before we...
You got any camps coming up? Because you are the head coach of the University of Florida.
We start practice in less than a month. It's right here. Yeah. We got a little bit earlier. The NCAA gave us a little bit extra 2 weeks to get ready for the season. So we got about a four-week preseason. Excited about our team. We made the championship game last year in the ASUN and didn't win it. So, but we have everybody back for the most part. And so got a pretty exciting team. Has had a lot of good results. Got hot with a really young group of players last year. And so
can you get me to be back as the play-by-play voice, by the way?
I will do my best, man. You know that. I will try.
Thanks again for being our guest. Here's our thoughts for the day. These are why thoughts for the day. So my wife asked, hey, why don't you treat me like you did when we first dated? So I took her to dinner and a movie, and I dropped her off at her mother's house. On a different day, my wife was massaging my head, and that was kind of nice. And she asked, hey, before we got married, who used to massage your head? And I said, well, before we got married, I never had headaches. And that's how the fight started. All right, audience, tune in next week to Sports Econ 101. We're going to be discussing sports topics from a business perspective and asking more trivia questions. Thanks for listening. On behalf of our team, I'm your host, Edward Brown. We'll see you next week.
Sprays.